About the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up on June 10th.
That's the most exciting event coming up soon, I think, yeah. Right?
That's the weekend after this weekend.
Right, yeah. Next Sunday, June 10th.
I do want to say before we get into all the details is that KRFY is one of the sponsors, and we're happy to be that.
That's so great. Yes, we really appreciate it. With so many people come out in the community to support this great community event, and we appreciate it year after year. This is our sixth annual year of doing it, and I think we've had pretty much most, or if not all, sponsors returning each year. So, and a few new ones get involved each year. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful community event. That's you know, as you know, it's a 5 and 10K fun run that's open to everyone to participate in. My favorite part of the whole event is that we have a huge number of walkers that come down to pay to walk the trail because they know that the proceeds from the event are going to go to support that community shoreline trail and to help efforts to extend it. So
how does somebody get in on the fun run?
Yep, there's a couple ways. Easiest ways is just to go online to our website, www.pobtrail.org, and sign up online. If you just even Google Bay Trail Fun Run, it'll come right up for you, and then you can click on the registration link. And that's probably the easiest way. But there's also a lot of brochures floating around town and around the surrounding communities that you can pick up and then mail back in. Or if you're a procrastinator, which some of us are, you can do it.
We don't encourage that.
No, we don't encourage it. But we'd rather have you participate than not. That's for sure. So sure, there's always a bunch of people that sign up either the night before at the packet pickup, because from 5 to 7 down at Trinity at City Beach, we'll have our packet pickup where you can come down and get your t-shirts. But if you haven't signed up, you can do that then. And then the next day, the morning of the race, you can get up early and come down before race time, before 8:45, and sign up there as well. And as you know, kids are free. So anyone 12 and under can run in the race for free, which is a nice part. We really like to make it a community event. A lot of kids come out.
So this is a timed race?
It is a timed race. It's a fun run, but we have a lot of serious people that try to make their best time. And so they also get rewarded with prizes for top finishers in each age group. We have every 10 years, you get another age group. So there's a lot of prizes that are given out. And I've given over the award ceremony to someone more responsible than me because I had we had a few missing medals last year. So they've all been ordered and in and looking really shiny and beautiful and waiting to go around people's necks.
Who is this person that's going to succeed you?
Jen McDonald and Meredith Lynch have co-captained to take this on this year.
Okay.
Yeah, and they've been participating in past years, but they ordered them and did it all.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it'll be a fit. They even have a template created, so there's no mistakes.
It just gets better every year.
That's right.
This is like the Bay Trail Quality Assurance team here.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, there's a lot of people involved. Judy Thompson is a huge, huge part of this race, and she's the volunteer coordinator and logistics. And so, yeah, it takes we take about 50 volunteers to pull it off each year.
Because you got to have a lot of people directing traffic and helping out along
encouraging,
the route.
Yep. Yeah. Water stations. And the Nordic Club always helps with the Nordic stations, the water stations.
I'm just thinking about this route, and I think you've explained it before, but does it actually go on the Bay Trail?
Yes. So it starts right at City Beach, right in front of Trinity Restaurant, and it goes down the Pendere Bay Trail, turns around and comes back, and you finish at the same place you started, and that's for the 5K. And then for the 10K folks, they go down the trail, come back, and then they get to go under the railroad train bridge and go down to the Sand Creek Trail and come back again. So it makes a double loop, and it's the whole way you're along waterways, which is one of the most scenic runs, I think, in the whole area.
Anywhere
in the world. The Bay Trail. People come from all over the world to run in this race.
Do they? That's a good question. So what are some of the furthest traveled folks to have done this?
Oh, yeah. We had someone from India. It's funny. On the registration form, you put your address, so it shows up. So it always breaks it down into different places. And I was always amazed. There was a bunch of group from Rhode Island when you're back east. You know, a lot of East Coasters had come over that were visiting family because it coincides with the high school graduation. So we often get a lot of families involved in the same weekend.
Yep. And to be clear, this is a timed race, so if you're a competitive runner, you probably already know about this thing, But the big shout out here, I'd say, is to folks that want to come down and have a walk on a beautiful day, usually.
Right.
And show some support for the...
And we allow strollers, you know, they just go hang at the back of the line, happy to walk. We do ask that, though, this is a very dog-friendly trail, just for these couple hours during the race, that you leave the dogs at home and then bring them back out after the last runner's through. So just to make room for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And we have professional timing. That was another big improvement we made after year one, I think.
Right.
when we had a major mishap with the timing. So now we actually have the little chips and, you know, good timing.
Yep, same group's been doing it for the last 5 years. They do a great job.
Those professional runners want to know their exact time.
Yep.
It matters.
And it's a professionally measured course, too. So it's an exactly measured course. So they're running, you know, 5K or 10K. And, you know, new this year, I forgot to mention, is that we're doing a family team award. So when you sign up, you can also sign up as a family. And then, so you sign up five family members, the top three times will be tallied. And that's how we're going to come up with the top awards for both the 5 and 10K. Because there's so many families that sign up, we thought that'd be fun to do that. And there's no extra charge for that. Mm-hmm. So you just need to grab two people you say are your family. No, they have to be related in some way, or live in your house.
And there's some kind of fun stuff that happens at the start and finish, right?
Yeah, we've got different sponsors. Nice, like to come down and have displays set up. We usually have a couple of people doing massage. The different groups show up for kids event type things. So it's just a conglomeration of groups.
Yeah. From different runners that I know, the food at the end, snacks, becomes a real issue. I've heard they had the best snacks or things like that. So there's always something for the runners to refresh themselves with.
Yep, Trinity does a nice display. And, you know, all participants get one of the coolest race T-shirts in the area. People always love our T-shirts. They're nice and soft. And then a water bottle and coupons. So you can go have a lunch right afterwards. If the snacks weren't enough to fortify you, you can go eat lunch at Trinity with a coupon that they give you.
Mm-hmm. So it's that nice. Is really nice.
Yeah.
That's and great. So tell us a bit about the organization that puts this thing on.
Well, I've been talking so much about the run. That's why I dragged Susan out this morning to come join us and talk more about what's going on with the trail and what we'll help to do with the proceeds in the future.
So
And Susan, you are La Presidente,
I understand. Yeah, I'm now the president of Friends of the Ponderie Bay Trail. There's a lot going on. A few years ago, we finished a master trail and interpretive plan for the trail, which you can look at on our website. There's a PDF there. You can go to the website and look at the resources tab. Beautiful website put together by Kiyoki, by the way, just have to mention. And one of the things that we're hoping to do pretty soon, there's a lot of different improvements planned for the trail, but one thing that is a high priority for us is to get some steps down to the water, and we're hoping to be able to do that this fall. And that would be in the vicinity of near the trailhead where the Humbird Mill ruins are. And in the wintertime, you know, in the shoulder seasons, even when the water's really low, you can get down to the sand there and you can walk around those ruins. And a lot of people like to take photos there, just look for stuff in the sand. And so having steps down through that riprap would make it a lot safer and a lot easier for people to access the lake bed and the sandy area there. So we're hoping to do that. And then in the summer, or when the lake is high, even this high, the steps would be a place where maybe kayakers could, you know, pull up and get out of the water, because this is also a water trail. Ideally, we'd like to have this be a route that paddlers can take from, say, City Beach and then paddle around, and they'd be able to pull up in the Humbird site. And, you know, we'd like to find sites further down as well. Actually, it's in the plan. And when you get down to the far end of the trail, when the Corps of Engineers put in the new bank stabilization there, they built kind of these ramps that go down to the lake. So there are sort of places already there where you can access the water more easily and you don't have to clamber down through the rocks. So that's one thing we want to do. The big agenda item we have is trying to get an underpass to Ponderay. And so we're actively looking at applying for a grant through the federal government. It used to be called TIGER, the program, and now it's called BUILD. They just changed the program, and there's actually a due date coming up this summer for a grant application.
And Friends of Ponderay Bay Trail will have a grant application in?
It would be the City of Ponderay.
Oh, the City of Ponderay.
And actually, we're still in the process of working with the city to get their authorization and, you know, make sure they want to move forward with this. it's a big deal. And we have the option of either going for a planning grant, which would pay for design and engineering for the underpass, which would give us a leg up in terms of project readiness, so that when we do go for a construction grant, we're better prepared. Or we could just go for the full construction grant. But I think we're leaning towards a planning grant this round.
And so the underpass would go under the rail, the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there technically isn't any real access from that end of the trail. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically, I should back up a little bit. The location would be in Ponderay, where the city purchased some land behind the Hoot Owl area. And so last fall, I think we might have come in and talked about this last fall, Ponderay Neighbor Day event.
It was a big event.
It was great.
It was
big
great.
Event.
It was really fun. Yeah.
So where that event happened is the location where the underpass would go. And so on the other side of the trail, it's not quite to where you get to the gate. It's a little bit before the gate. So, but it's on property. I mean, on the lakeside, it's property that's also owned by the City of Ponderay. So right now, the City of Ponderay owns waterfront land there. And the people of Ponderay have no safe way to get there, or the people from Kootenai. Our plan includes a trail that would go along, you know, in the railroad right-of-way on the north side of the tracks that would connect to Kootenai as well. So the idea is to connect those communities to the lakeshore, to the shoreline, and provide more connectivity.
Mm-hmm. This is a question that just occurred to me, but is the proposed rail bridge and the double track that we're going to see come through Sandpoint, would that impact the trail in some way?
Not necessarily. No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, no, most of that double tracking is not even along where the trail is.
Okay.
It sounds like a huge project, and it's a time, it starts, you've been working on it for a while, and it's in the future, so it's a process of like getting these partners together and the grants together. But do you feel hopeful for success?
Well, this very wise man named Bob Carlson, who kind of started the whole ball rolling here. He was with North Idaho Bikeways, which put together the first trails plan, which included the Ponderay Bay Trail years ago. I mean, at least 20 years ago. He said, "It's just enjoy the journey. It's about the process. Don't get hung up on the outcome." And so I've really tried to take that to heart. And I mean, it's amazing that we just got this shoreline opened up to the public as much as we have. And that was a big deal. And so I guess I just stay optimistic and just try to enjoy the process.
Wise words for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners, if you've just tuned in, this is The Morning Show on Wednesday, June 30th with Chris and Susie. And our guests right now in the studio are Friends of the Bay Trail, Nancy Dooley and Susan Drumheller. And we're talking about mostly the Bay Trail fun run that's coming up June 10th. However, we just had a nice discussion about the Bay Trail itself and what the future has to hold for it.
Well, that is the whole point of the run. You know, we have this two fundraisers a year. This is our largest one. And then we also have just a gathering in the fall for our sip and shop, you know, sort of state of the trail party. And so it's really great to have everyone that we can possibly come out to participate in this, because I think that everyone would agree that having this open shoreline to the public to use whenever they want is a huge, huge attribute for our community. Yep.
Yeah, I'd say it's a real success story. Do you have any numbers for the number of people that use the trail now?
Yep. Yeah, we get up to, more 200 a day in nice weather days. A couple hundred a day is what our trail count typically is. We do have a trail counter up right now on the trail, and so we should have more accurate figures, you know, by the end of the summer, you know, when we average it out. Also, another improvement I wanted to mention, it because it does get really popular on nice days, our little parking lot at the trailhead is way too small. And so in the plan, we also are hoping to make that bigger and expand it, but that's going to be a pretty expensive project. So a lot of the funds that we raise through the Bay Trail Fun Run, we're just kind of accumulating for some of these big projects, because that's, you know, it's a couple $100,000 for the parking lot. You know, I mean, these things cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there at least a designated park right at near the trailhead, right by the water plant? And I can remember when Mayor Ray Miller had set aside, or they had set aside a chunk of property there. It was going to be like a historical park.
The city of Sandpoint.
And that's before the trail was acquired, actually. Do you know anything about that?
If you're talking about the Humbird Mill site, I don't know. It may actually be designated a park now. I think for quite a while it was just considered part of the city's water utility, you know, because that's where the water treatment plant is, you know, where they bring in water and treat it for drinking. So, you know, they purchased a bunch of property there where we used to park and where people would, you know, either they had permission from the property owners or they didn't, but that's where people parked to use the trail, the shoreline trail before.
Before it was public, yeah.
Yeah, but then the city purchased that and they expanded their water treatment plant onto that.
Yeah, I think that was, this is going back quite a few years, so I think some things have moved on since then, but I was just wondering if that was still considered a city park. But
I think it is now.
I think because you need to get a permit to use the park area, so yeah, I think it counts as that.
Mm-hmm. 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 And the city has taken over, we're really appreciative that the city has taken over, you know, taking care of the mutmits and the garbage. The Friends of the Pend'oreille Bay Trail, we contribute to the cost of the mutmits. So that's one thing that our funds go toward. We also...
And the toilet.
Pay for the porta potty that's there. We maintain that. But the city otherwise takes care of the garbage and restocks the mutmits.
It's been a great partnership. You know, you start volunteers doing it for a while, and then the city managed to put it into their budget and take over part of it.
So that's nice, wonderful.
Yeah, it's a nice cooperative effort.
Because it does need maintenance, especially as you say, there's could be up to 200, probably more in the summer, using the trail every day. And that means people with their dogs, so we need to take care of that situation and encourage people to be responsible and respectful.
And for the most part, everybody really is. You know, that's why we have the mutt mitts. And once in a while, people will leave them, but it's usually because they're on their way.
Coming back.
They're going to grab it on the way back. Right. And other people just grab it for them. So it's been working out pretty well. Mm-hmm. And we have a ton of volunteers that are always like, we want to work on the trail. Our group would like to come work on the trail. And we really haven't had that much. Every spring, we do a cleanup and cut back some trees and whatnot just to make it clear. But it's a primitive trail, and that's the feedback we've gotten from the community, that they want to keep it a primitive dirt trail. And I say this quote all the time, but there's a fellow one time that was down there, an older man, and he said, this is my wilderness. My knees are bad. I can't get up in the mountains anymore, but I come down here and I'm in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So
it is true. You have the huge lake right in front of you the whole way. It's so beautiful.
And it's completely flat. So that's for folks that do have access issues. It's a trail that lets you enjoy nature with great access.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fun run coming up, and let's talk about that a little bit more. Susan, you said visit our website, and that's POB
trail.org.
Okay, and there's lots of information about the Bay Trail and the Friends of the Bay Trail, but now let's talk again.
And you go right to that website to sign up, or you can just Google Bay Trail Fun Run, click on the registration link. It's just $25 to sign up per person, but kids 12 and under are free. It'll be $30 on race day, so you sign up now to be a little bit faster, a little bit cheaper. And the race starts Sunday, June 10th at 9 a.m., and you have the choice of both a 5 or a 10K distances, and you have the choice of being a competitive runner and trying to win prizes, or you can just grab a friend and take a nice walk on the trail and enjoy this really nice community event that we have down there. We anticipate around 600 people. That's about what we had last year, and we usually each year we go up a few. So it should be a nice group of folks down there. Mm-hmm. And so far, knock on wood, We've had good weather every year. It's been sunny just like today, so we'll keep our fingers crossed it'll be the same way.
Even when it has looked like it might be a little threatening or something in the forecast, it's turned out really great.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's way to pick your weekend.
Right, right. But if it is raining, we really encourage people to come out, because that's when we really need you to show your true North Idaho spirit and come out and run in the rain or walk in the rain with all of us.
I just want to say one thing, too. And you talk about the entry fee. That's really, most of that goes to the Bay Trail and getting that up and running. So it's a donation.
It is a donation.
Sponsorship.
We have sponsors that pay for any cost that it incurs to take this, to put the run on, which is just the timing and the t-shirts and that kind of thing. But the real money comes from each individual who comes out to the race. That donation, that $25 is a full donation, goes straight to our organization. It's an all volunteer organization, and
no paid staff.
We pay administrative staff part time here and there. Okay. Not a staff member, but just a contract person.
Right, right.
The rest of how many board members do we have?
Got 9 board members.
Yep. We have 9 volunteer board members that are really good, hardworking board. And you know, some of the sponsors I just like to mention that have been tried and true for years putting this on is Trinity at City Beach. They help co-host it. But we also have the Kalispell Tribe of Indians. They have been our largest sponsor each year, our leading sponsor, and they've come back again this year. So we really appreciate them being a part of that. They think that this area is really special, and they want to see it preserved and taken care of. And then, of course, other radio stations around 95.3 KPND, they've been a great sponsor each year. Sweet Lou's, they're doing our cool water bottles this year. They've got their logo on our water bottles. And then Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, the Equinox Foundation, Evergreen Realty, they've been from the very beginning. Those guys over there, Charlie and Donna Parrish and Kurt and Bonnie Hagen have been really big contributors. Finn and McDonald, of course, have been there from the beginning. D.A. Davidson. I could go on and on. We've got a ton. And we've got them on our website.
On the brochures or the posters you see around town.
Yep. A true community event.
Yes, you see those folks. Please tell them thanks.
And so that's coming June 10th, the Bay Trail Fun Run. And
coincides with National Trails Day, so another reason to come on out. National Trails Day is along that the same time period.
Okay. And, good way to celebrate that.
Yep.
If you like a trail, a very good trail.
A very good, very, very good trail.
Very fine trail. Okay, we're going to have to move on to our next guest here in just a second. Any last words you'd like to put out?
Well, thanks so much for having us on, and I hope we see you guys out there on June 10th, and we're really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much.
And you can register at?
PobTrail.org, PondereBayTrail.org.
Right. Well, Susan Drumheller, Nancy Dooley, thank you so much for coming in from Friends of the Bay Trail, talking about the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up June 10th.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to take a little musical break with a song, actually, that's tailored for the fun runs. It's Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run.
Perfect.
Perfect. And then we will be back in just about 3 minutes with a couple of folks from the Chafe 150 bike ride. And that was Bruce Springsteen with Born to Run.
And we're back in the studios. This is the morning show right here at 88.5 KRFY. And now we have our new guests in the studio. It's Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick from the Rotary talking about the Chafe 150 Grand Fondo bike ride that's coming up June 16th.
Only 17 days from today.
Well, welcome. Thanks for being here, Mel and Ilana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So let's talk about this. You go ahead and just start talking.
Well, this is our 11th annual ride. We're so excited about it. As I said, it takes place on Saturday, June 16th. And there's 3 routes. You can ride 150 miles, you can ride 30 miles, or you can ride 80 miles. And they're beautiful routes, and there's professional support and gear along the route, so you'll never feel alone, and it's so much fun. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems right. Like. Always. I can remember one year if we had a lot of rain.
Well, one year we had a lot of rain and a lot of sunshine.
Oh, that's
depending
right.
on where you were in the pack, you know, like I was in the back, so I didn't have any rain, but I had a lot of sunshine.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a tremendous community event. You know, it's been going on for 11 years. It was started by the Panhandle Alliance for Education for the benefit of early childhood literacy, and they're ready for kindergarten program. The Sandpoint Rotary took it over 6 years ago, and we've continued to help fund programs, social, emotional well-being programs at Lake Pendere School District, with an emphasis on students on the autism. If we look at what the community does for our schools and how they support the CHAFE ride, it's amazing. We have almost 80, I think we have approximately 80 sponsors, 46 of which are donating or providing cash sponsorships at the $1,000 or above level. And so it's amazing. The really fun part about the ride for me is the after ride party down at City Beach Park, where it's a community-wide party. There's a dinner for the riders. There's a beer and wine garden. Bring your friends, bring your family. When the weather's nice, you know, we have about 500 people down there.
There's so many aspects to this really amazing event that has been going on for 11 years. Just some of the things, we can start with the stops, the rest stops, yeah. the food stops, or we can start anywhere you want. But it's quite amazing. You mentioned the sponsorship. We want to go over some of those. But let's start with these bike riders. 150 miles is a long way. There's places where they stop, and those become events in themselves.
That's right. And what happens is the 150-mile riders, the ride starts at 6:30 in the morning after they have a big hearty breakfast on the beach by Trinity at City Beach, and then they take off. There's six rest stops throughout that 150-mile ride. And those rest stops are manned by community organizations. So again, back to how the entire community supports this ride. The school district has a couple of the rest stops. Angels has one of them. Rotary's got one of them. There's a youth group that's going to have one of the rest stops this year. So it's an amazing kind of event. And they're parties. We have rest stops that compete with each other to see who has the best rest stop and who has the best food. I mean, I've always said that you can ride 150 miles and actually gain weight on this ride after burning about 10,000 calories because there's so much food to eat and it's all great stuff.
And there's a little competition to be the best rest stop.
There too. Is.
Right.
There
and,
you,
and the riders vote, I think.
They do. Last year, Friends of Scotchman's Peak won, right? They had a great rest stop.
That was in Clark Fork.
It was in Clark Fork, and I don't remember what they had. I know it was really good, and they had a lot of great stuff, but I don't remember specifically what they had.
Right.
Because every rest stop is so different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they won because it's the last rest stop.
Well,
everybody gets to that point, and they're like, only one more shot to get
there. That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I will say that they're determined to hold on to their rest stop trophy this year, so it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They're
going to
go all out.
Yeah, years past, we've had like a bacon station and burritos and ice cream bars and lots of healthy drinks and food options. The rest stops are a lot of fun.
And probably pretty vital for those 150-milers that are out there riding. And then even the 80, but the 30-mile ride goes out to the Pack River Store. And KRFY is the sponsor of that rest stop. So we're looking to have fun out there.
Yeah.
One of the big hits on the ride every year are the Diddy bars from Dubs. Mm-hmm. They make about 400 of these bars for us from scratch. They're Huckleberry Diddy bars. And we have riders that one of the reasons they ride is so they can have their Diddy bar.
That's it.
I couldn't wait to get to Pack River Store and have, you know, at your rest stop and get my ice cream bar.
Yum.
let's talk about the three routes a little bit. 150 miles means you're probably an advanced bicyclist to pull that off in a single day. But the 80 route is within the realm of the mortal, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know, the 80 route, it starts again in Sandpoint with breakfast, and then we bus you, and we have a big truck from Lighthouse that takes your bike over to Troy, Montana, and then you finish the second half, basically the 150. It's timed so that you finish it about the same time. You know, back to the 150 ride, you'd be surprised. There are a lot of hardcore riders. I mean, not many people can ride 150 miles at one time, but we've had riders ride that who've never ridden that distance before. We've had riders ride that who've done no training, and they've managed to finish it. And it's just really a matter of, you know, if you can ride for 12 hours, you can probably get through it. I mean, Chris, you've had some of your people who have ridden on this ride before.
That's right.
Who are really new to cycling, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So it really is, I think people get very motivated for the cause. There's a lot of pride in saying, you know, I did something like this.
And the personal challenge of pulling off a 150-mile ride is really something.
And then the 30-mile ride is really focused on families. And for the rider of any ability to be able to ride the 30 miles. And, you know, 30 miles sounds like a lot of long ways, and it really is a long ways. But again, if you take your time, and it's a fun event, and it's, you know, riding out in Selly Valley is just absolutely beautiful when you can see the mountains on all sides, and you see Schweitzer and things like that.
And the alpacas.
So, yeah, you see, ride by the alpacas.
I took a ride out there last weekend. It was just gorgeous. It's, you know, the route is pretty gentle. Not a lot of big hills. There's a couple of hills, but not any real big ones. And the scenery is just outstanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been recognized as one of the top 10 scenic distance rides in the country a few years ago. And, you know, that's why we keep the route the same. And it's just plain beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I know that last year out at the Pack River Store, a lot of people came in and just stopped and hung around, visited with their friends, waited for people to show up. So it wasn't, we got to get back right away. It became a little place to hang out for a while and eat the Diddy bars and stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, or two. And it's not a race. It is a ride. Okay. So it's timed, but it's not a race.
And Grand Fondo means it's a big party.
Oh,
so that's the whole idea is you party at the rest stops. You have a great time. You have a great time before the ride and a great time after the ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad to know what that meant because I was going to ask you. So good.
Mm-hmm. Last year, our oldest rider was 87 years old, and he rode the 80-mile route. And he signed up for this year to ride the 80 again. And our youngest rider was 7 years old and rode the 30. And we had a couple of 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds. And
if that's not inspiration, I don't know what to say.
Right.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were saying, Mel, this really does come from the act of giving to our community, back to the children in the school district. And the goal is always a financial gift that can mm-hmm. really make a difference in the lives of, at this time, children on the autism spectrum.
That's right. And, you know, we've been very fortunate to have the kind of sponsorship and the rider numbers that we've had. So we have donated $50,000 a year for the last 3 years. And I think if you look at the cumulative 11-year total, we're going to probably approach $500,000 back into the education system and the youth in the community.
That's significant. Yeah. And probably pretty vital with what we know with funding for education can make a big mm-hmm. difference in these students' lives.
Yep.
So, bravo.
Obviously, the riders all contribute to this through their entry fee. But you also encourage them to go out and collect donations that are pledged to their ride.
Right. Each rider needs to raise $50 in donations, which is easy. We give you a CrowdRise account, and you can just get a few friends to give $10 a piece, and you're there. For riders 16 and under, we do have a reduced registration fee this year, and they only have to raise $25. But I have a feeling the riders 16 and under, they're great at fundraising. They're going
to
bring
in some big
bucks.
Yeah, those are the guys that can really go out and raise the funds, I'm sure. Yeah.
And we do have fundraising prizes. And we've had several riders raise over $4,000 mm-hmm. and win a bike. It's worth over $1,500. And if you raise $250, you get a free registration and a jersey. So
some good incentives to get out there. And it's really, having done the ride myself a few times, people like to support people that are going out and challenging themselves, and they see the money going to a good cause like this. So if you are considering a ride, let me throw out a shout that it's actually pretty easy to go out and sign folks up to sponsor your ride and really increase the amount of money you bring in for a worthy cause. Now, the other part of this, of course, are your underwriters and your supporters. And why don't you tell us about some of the sponsors?
Yeah, we have four different levels of sponsorship. We have platinum, which is 5,000 or above, gold, which is 2,500, silver, 1,000, and then bronze. And then we also have a supporter level. This year, our platinum sponsor is Lighthouse Foods. And, you know, as you know, Lighthouse has been just a wonderful supporter of the education system here, and we all appreciate that. At the gold level, and I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to read off some of these. The 219 Lounge, Angela Oaks, Bonner County Daily Bee, Bonner General Hospital, Hadley Sentinel Financial Management, Greasy Fingers, Lone Tree Creative, Kachava, KPND, Northland Cable, Parker Subaru, Ponderay Mechanical, Sandpoint Living Local, Sully Valley Construction, Timberline Helicopters, Trinity at City Beach, Washington Trust, and Williams and Parsons. And when you think about having, you know, close to 20 supporters at that level, either giving cash or giving, and in some cases giving us services that are valued far greater than the level that they're really at. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate that.
So a big shout out to all those sponsors, Bravo.
Yes.
And to everybody that contributes to the ride.
And tell us again how folks can get registered at this point in time.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah.
Go to our website, chafe150.org. You'll read all about the routes, the ride, the cause. You'll be able to register directly from the site. So it's chafe150.org, chafe150.org.
How late can they register?
You can register up until Thursday afternoon, and then Friday before the ride, we start registering on site at City Beach. So you can register Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, the day of the ride as well.
If you're a real procrastinator.
Exactly.
Yeah, we actually have probably 10 to 15 riders who register Saturday morning at about 6 a.m.
They're probably taking the gauge of the weather or...
Well, they could be taking the gauge of the weather or just, as you said, procrastinators or, you know, some people just... They want to decide what they're going to do for the weekend.
Yeah.
In the riding world, bike riding world, folks go all over the country looking for these special rides. And do you have folks coming in from out of town for this event?
We do. We have people from Florida, BC, Texas, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, Maine. Mm-hmm. We might have some riders from Hawaii this year again.
Intentionally coming into our community for this special event because it's a fun ride. It's
right.
Very, not only fun, but beautiful. I mean, it's part of the Selkirk Loop, partly on that. And it's, I mean, going along the Kootenai River has to be exquisite.
And the Bull River Valley is really gorgeous from Troy over to basically to Clark Fork. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think part of the allure is the scenery. Part of it's the challenge of the 150 miles. It's fair to say that a majority of our riders are not from Sandpoint. They're from outside of the region and from all these states that Alana mentioned. We have a lot of riders from Spokane, from Coeur d'Alene, Missoula.
So the more competitive riders, maybe?
Well, some, you know, the distance riders, you know, we have some riders that, even though it's not a race, I mean, they're riding for time.
Yeah.
And they're riding to be able to do this in, you know, 7 hours or less if they can. Which is quite a feat.
There are quite a few teams, too, who come to ride.
As a group, they ride together.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So the first, I haven't been there for the first guys coming in, but I got to imagine that's a sprint.
You know, it's not the sprint in the sense of a bicycle race, but, you know, there are three or four people on the front end that are going to jockey to see if they can cross the bridge first coming into City Beach Park.
Yeah.
The other thing is we have a number of tandem riders, and it is really cool to see the tandem riders out there, and especially if you get behind a tandem rider and you start drafting behind them. Brad Williams, who is really the brainchild behind this ride, he always rides a tandem, and I've ridden with him, and it's a lot of fun.
I've drafted behind Brad 1 year.
Brad and his wife, Nancy.
Yeah, they can fly. You know, one thing... people probably don't know, but Chris was instrumental in the founding of this ride as well.
Well, there you go, Mr. Bestley.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you.
We just have a few minutes left. I want to remind the listeners, this is the morning show. We are here in the studio with Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick from the Rotary, who are really the organizers of this upcoming amazing event called Chafe 150 Bike Ride or Grand Fondo that's taking place on June 16th. So any last parting words?
Well, we're talking about the different routes and the time it takes to do it. We time the ride so that most of the riders will finish around the same time. So it really is a big party at City Beach, and we want the whole community to come out. You can get tickets for a great, we're having a Mexican buffet this year that's catered by Trinity. There's beer, wine, music. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come out, support the riders, enjoy a nice evening on City Beach.
It is really fun. I was down there last year after our sponsored road stop, and it was amazing. All those people and all those riders and bikes with their colorful outfits on and stuff.
About what time do the bicyclists start coming in?
The first riders will probably start coming in around 2 o'clock at the earliest, and the last riders will come in...
Before dark.
Before dark. We sweep the route and really take riders off at dusk, and that's, there's very few riders, but, you know, 8 o'clock, you know, you have people coming.
And that's a safety consideration.
And it's a safety consideration, definitely.
And that's a big part of your planning, is making it safe.
Absolutely, and that's why we have SAG wagons or support vehicles that are constantly monitoring. We have mechanics that are constantly on the route to...
Helping with those flat tires.
If you have flat tires, you have any mechanical issues, Greasy Fingers does just a phenomenal job of supporting us in that regard.
Hand-holding, emotional support, cheering us on.
Yes.
There's a little bit of that, too. You can do it. You can do it.
Absolutely.
So.
Right. The day of the ride, we have over 110 volunteers on this ride. It's incredible.
It really takes a big turnout to pull off an event this size. I mean, it's stretched over 150 miles, literally. So,
are you still needing volunteers?
We will always take more volunteers.
Okay. Is there a phone number if someone's listening right now and wants to get involved in some way?
There is a contact form on the website
at
chafe150.org. If you go there, you can sign up.
Sounds good.
We would love your help.
Okay. So that's the Chafe 150. It's actually the Chafe 30, 80, and 150 bike ride. It's coming up Saturday, June 16th. You got time to do some conditioning. You could get out there and run a couple of rides right now. And
17 days.
17 days, yeah. It was very doable. It supports a great cause. So to once again, where to sign up?
Chafe150.org.
Yeah, so go to the website.
It's fairly simple. We really want to thank both Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about this community event that is pretty spectacular and pretty special.
Thank you, and we'll see you at the rest stop.
You shall.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chris, we'll see you out on the road.
Okay. I'm almost there, Mel. I've had a couple rides under my belt.
Great.
We're going to take a quick musical break, and actually this is a song we picked for our Chafe friends. This is Queen playing Bicycle Race, and we'll be back in just a minute. And that was Queen, Bicycle Race.
Appropriate song for this morning. We just spoke with Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick from the Rotary about the Chafe 150. And before that, we were talking with the Friends of the Bay Trail and the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up, Nancy Dooley and Susan Drumhiller. Lots of things coming up. And Chris, there's something really big coming up right here at 88.5 KRFY. And it is.
It's our annual membership drive.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a ton of stuff happening. We're going to be live 2 days here in the studio where the door is open. We want people to come by. That's June 8th and 9th. That's the Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. this coming Friday and Saturday.
Not this week, but the next week.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Not this week.
Exactly.
Don't scare me like that.
Okay.
But it is really truly a celebration of the fact that we have a community radio station right here in our little area in North Idaho. We're going to be open to the public. You can show your support, but you can also come up and just talk to us and see what community radio is all about. We have over 25 local volunteer broadcasters that support this station. We have many, many podcasts and syndicated shows that come in that are national. You know, this station is pretty phenomenal. And when people really tune in and find out about us, they're amazed that we have this little gem up here in North Idaho. And we stream. So we have the visitors or listeners all over the country. The other day, someone called in from Florida and said how much they like the station. So this is a service to our community. It is a commercial-free nonprofit organization. Donations are deductible.
It does survive strictly on donations from the community. There's no tax money that goes into this.
No.
There's actually no advertiser money. We have underwriters, but that's distinct from an advertiser. You can't buy advertising space on KRFY.
No. We do become sponsors for certain events like we did with the Bay Trail. And that is, you know, an also for a nonprofit. That's what we support at this point in time. So stop in, see us on our annual membership drive. I like to call it an annual membership event. It's live 2 days on the radio from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. Just to every hour, there's either an underwriter coming in to talk about their organization or business, a local nonprofit community organization, or a musician. I think the music starts around 11 o'clock each day, and they're local musicians. So we have a really great lineup, and you can go to our website or our Facebook and see pretty soon the lineup of our guests that will be coming in during this live time. But if you come up to the station, you can maybe request a song or give a shout out to someone special and see what live broadcasting and community radio is all about.
You can see where all the magic happens.
The magic happens right here.
So tune in, hit us online, or come by the studio.
And where are we located, by the way?
We're at 323 North First Avenue, which is, we're in upstairs. Mm-hmm. You go through the doors to the Hollins Gallery or and up the stairs. I think we're going to have a sign out front to help you find us.
Balloons and things like that.
Balloons, yeah. Yeah, festive things.
And you know, last Friday we had a movie at the Panada. Did you get to see that?
I did not make it, but I heard it was terrific.
It was terrific. And that was a gift to our community from KRFY. And thanks a lot to Jim Healy for finding it, putting it on. But the grant came from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. And the name of the movie was Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. It was outstanding.
And there's a good crowd.
It was really good.
Yeah. We're happy people came to that. So with that, we're going to wrap up today's show. Any last words, Susie?
Well, it was really fun standing on this side of the table.
Yeah. And we're going to go out with a kind of a theme song here at Jackson Brown, Running on Empty, since we've been talking about running and bicycling today. So have a fine week.
Yep. Have a beautiful day. Thanks.